So last time in Mystery 2, I did a little love letters. That was where Killaday Comport showed up, if you remember him, Ducky, the YouTuber who told you about the Azo and Orso split, who talks kind of like, oh my god, that.
I do, yeah, I do.
That terrible voice that drained me for like an hour and a half afterwards.
It wasn't as good as your Italian accent.
That was...
nothing will ever be.
That was a different kind of draining. That was a demoralizing and depressing kind of draining. So we did those love letters, and I have a few more things. I think the first one is for Marvin, actually, sort of following up on what we played. So after you and Nancy part ways, and I don't remember if I said this exactly, but like I think the way that you part ways is like Nancy like gives you like a really genuinely warm handshake or like a hug even, and like is like genuinely like, I would love for you to keep me updated on this mystery. Yeah, I've enjoyed getting to meet you finally, and that I can place trust on you is a very large thing for me as somebody who is, you know, constantly finding out that people are untrustworthy. And then she sort of heads out, and then the next morning Bess and George find you, and George is basically like hands you back your Met controller that he took to modify all Nancy Drew's orders, and he's like, you know, we've all been in this detective business for a minute, and a lot of pretenders come through, a lot of people looking for, you know, just a little bit of glory. And I know that's, not to mince words, I know that's how you started out here, Marvin. That's, we did some digging. You were in influencer school when you were four, but you're a good egg, man. Like, I think Nancy likes you a lot more than she could even say. And frankly, you know, I think you're pretty all right too, kid. And so he hands you the Met controller and he goes, yeah, I just did some quick modifications. It's now, well, I can't tell you everything, but it's now assigned to a particular first AK class mech. There's going to be a moment, I think, where Pill is going to need you to push this button, and I don't think Pill is going to be able to tell you that they need you to push this button. But when it comes down to it, I think you'll know. And he hands you the mech button, like, and it's like solemn. He gives it to you and is like, knock him dead, kid. And Bess gives you like a quick, like, you know, peck on both cheeks, and the two of them hold hands and walk away. So yeah, you have that button to use at a particular moment for Pill. Pill, this is... I wanted this character to be a big character. It just didn't work out, so I'm gonna give her the fucking coolest moment in the show. Which, of course, starts with you in the golden hour in your dog body looking up at the sky. Is that cool? Are you cool with that?
Where am I? Farmlands or no?
I think y'all are, like, on your way down. You've passed into the farmlands, but you're not at the particular farm that you're going to. You look up because there is the sound of, like, a jet, like, flying real low. And it, like, you know, comes from the horizon, zooming towards you. And you see it start to disarticulate in a sort of, like, a... When I was initially imagining this, I was thinking of, like, a transformer or whatever, you know? Like, you know, the nose cone, like, pops off and, like, a hinge moves around. But I think it's a lot more viney than that, since these are... agricultural mechs. I think it's like it kind of like unropes itself and re-ropes into a humanoid form, and it's like a sort of a, you know, 8 foot tall mech body that transforms mid-air, like flying over you, whips around, is a humanoid body, and lands in front of you. The cockpit opens up and somebody steps out. She has a skin tight flight suit on, and like a pilot's helmet, and she steps out and goes, Pill, is that you?
Do I recognize this person?
I mean, it's somebody wearing a skin-tight flight suit and a pilot's helmet, so you can't really see any identifying details, really. The voice doesn't sound super familiar, but you know, as you know, that last time Felucca said you were going to meet up with somebody in the farms when you went down there. Okay. So,
I just say, who's asking?
Name's Finna Ruin. Is that Pill?
Yes. This is Pill.
Lovely to meet you, Pill. She unzips her flight suit to reveal just fucking overalls and pulls off her her helmet. She's got about titty length brown hair. And she's wearing a pink pink Realtree camo hat that says blow up the sun on it.
Hell yeah. I love that.
And she goes, you know, you were really meant to meet up with Bet up in the mines. You just like kind of completely ignored her. That was pretty rude.
Do the hologram projection from the dog, and as I got a little distracted.
Yeah, I heard. you sure did a lot, didn't you?
A lot and a little, I guess.
Is it true, what I've heard?
Well, it depends on what you've heard, but yes, more than likely.
The Echo Drive?
Yes.
Goddamn, kid. That is a hell.
He wanted to do the same thing to any of us.
You're not wrong, and I've been in touch with Feluca, and she thinks we might be able to do something with that up in the Capitol. Would you mind if I took that off your hands for a little bit? We're thinking about splicing some of the code in with the code for the living folks who are in the Echo Drives to sort of motivate them, and then also, you know, using him to mass produce some, you know, infantry, basically. So we can kill Deus 100 times, 1,000 times, just, you know, have some good times with it.
Well, I can't do much with it out here in the middle of nowhere, but be careful, because if I'm proof of anything, it's that they still have a will of their own.
That's damn right.
You don't want to mess up with this Echo Drive for a lot of reasons.
Point well taken. I got one other piece of business with you, Pill. We got some intel. There's something beneath these farmlands, and there's some researchers around here who have been working on it. We don't know quite what it is, but if you can find it, there's theoretically an energy source somehow, some way underneath these farms that could not just help us with production on these mechs, but could theoretically help us with production on interstellar transit, could make us, after we have wiped out these nationalists, a genuine universal community. I know you want to fight right now, and I think if you want to just bring the guns out, you should. But there's something here that is worth looking into, and you got these kids who do all their detective work with you, so figured some detective work might not be off the balance sheet.
There's an energy source underneath these farmlands?
Yeah.
When I was here, these were just farms, and barely that.
It's old, Bill. Well, we're talking damn near 100,000 years old. It's been buried here. We just didn't know how to utilize it.
Well, as long as no more distractions show up, me and the kids will try and find it. We'll do the best we can.
Sounds good. Yeah, and Finna says, send my regards to Marvin and Roger, puts on her suit, hops back in her mech, and fucking transforms back into a jet. It's just like, let's go!
And Pill howls as the jet takes off.
Hell yes.
Yes.
I love it. Roger. I didn't write a script for this one, so it's gonna be real wild.
Just start beatboxing.
You get another notification that there's a new Kill a Day Comport video up. Do you, just to remind you, he is somebody who has a fairly small YouTube following, but he's sort of the, like, it would be rude to say he's the Perez Hilton of, like, y'all's community, because he's not nearly as shitty as Perez Hilton, but he's kind of got that vibe of, like, he gets the scoops before anyone else does, and everyone's just like, ah, he's full of shit, but he's right 98% of the time, and he's just insufferable to listen to. Do you click a link for a new video of his about the Lacrim twins?
Absolutely.
And forward it to me.
No, I'm not doing this twice.
No, that's not what I mean. I just,
Yeah.
Keep me in mind, mm-hmm. your twin. Mm-hmm. Your beloved twin.
Okay, last time I had a full-ass script when I was playing this character, and it was exhausting, so doing it off the dome is going to be great. yes, you open the video. Kildegaze. Hey, guys! So, today, spooky news. The Lacrim twins' dad has been missing, apparently. No one quite knows where he's at. And there's something a little wild about to happen. The Lacrim twins are heading down to the farmlands to inherit their father's business. Sources tell me that the big old boss Deus, self-styled God himself, has taken hid the money and ran from his failing mine. And now the kids are saddled with the debt. So smoke on the street is that the old Azo and Orso are going to go ahead and look for some researchers down there to sponsor because they are thinking long-term, Lacrim long-term, if you know what I mean. All right. Like and subscribe, everybody. Killaday Comport out. And the video ends because I will never recover from that. Long and short of it being no one knows that Deus is dead, as far as you can tell. Azo and Orso are headed down to the mines on some sort of mission to recruit researchers. Or not to the mines, to the farmlands on some sort of mission to recruit researchers. I guess the other thing you would know is that the rift you caused in them is still pretty raw. There is still opportunity for them to... So, I mean, theoretically at this point, since Deus is dead and the Lacrims will be inheriting, if you can split them up, you can... cause a pretty severe blow to, like, the premier fascist family at this point. If they are not united, they could be a pretty significant weakness to the revolutionary forces, which is not at all what I expected when you got pushed into the grass and looked up at the sky and said, I guess y'all are the bullies.
A few ideas, you know.
Hell yeah.
It's exciting.
Okay, one last bit of business before we jump into the mystery. How is it that y'all come to hear about Miss Bo's latest lecture? Anyone got any ideas?
Doesn't she lecture at the school that we attend?
Mm-hmm.
So is it not just, like, posted or, like, advertised in the hallways or whatever of the school we go to? It's just a simple...
This one... would not be.
Okay.
It's a little more out there.
Okay. Maybe Nancy Drew tells us, sends Marvin a text message to say, hey, I think Miss Bo is going to be giving the speech that might be helpful or useful for you to attend.
Nancy texts Marvin and is like, hey, there's a new speech from Mrs. Bo, or from Miss Bo. I've heard some... that she's going to say some interesting things. You might want to tune in to the YouTube Live. And you do? Do you all gather around? Or is it just Marvin, like, blushing and being like, oh my god, my crush said something to me.
I've been invited to a very exclusive thing with my crush. Uh-huh. I guess you all can join me if it's relevant or whatever, but this one's for me.
Obviously, we were all invited. Marvin.
Well, that's your interpretation.
It, like, explicitly says you all in the text message.
It doesn't matter.
Marvin's like, I
understand
all.
The subtext. Yeah, I understand the subtext there. She's trying to not make it seem like she's trying to communicate just with me.
Okay, so
the heavy delusions of a 14-year-old.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Okay. So when the whatever watermark at the beginning ends, the like coming soon little thing ends. You see Miss Bo on a stage at a sort of podium, sort of, I think it's the same stage as she was at the last lecture. It looks a little, that one was like a few years ago, and I think that was at the moment when that, like, there was a lot of funding for that. I think it's a little less well kept, this stage, and it's a little more, the crowd's a little rowdier, let's say. There are two kinds of historians, in my experience. There are those, like myself, who study the past in order to learn from it, to synthesize those lessons, and to exceed them. And then there are those for whom it is the destination. They see in the past not an opportunity to develop, to interrogate, to translate, or to overthrow, but simply to return, to oppress. But all it takes is one look around us. Like the city that lies beneath our concrete beaches before the waters rose, the past is not something that can be returned to. Ice caps melt through our collective inaction. Together, we cannot refreeze them. But we can learn how it happened, develop new ways of being together in cities and in virtual spaces that don't contribute farther, all while developing technologies like cloud seeding that might work more harmoniously with nature. We might even seed clouds that don't just help produce more rain, but give messages to our comrades. A face in the clouds, you might say. I don't know if this sparks any memories in Roger, but it might. There are many things to be learned from nature. Take, for instance, certain species of honeybees. Upon encountering a scout hornet, they lure it into their hive. Once trapped, they come together to vibrate rapidly around the hornet. For the hornet's blood will boil at only a few degrees below their own. Collectively, they defend against a stronger foe, using only their power together, their knowledge of themselves, their capacities, and their histories. At this point in the video, the camera goes completely white for a second. The camera is positioned sort of at the back of the crowd, so you can see most of the crowd's heads, you know, as, you know, it's like 15, 20 rows of people. It goes white for a second and someone stands in front of it. Miss Bo is just going to continue talking, just so you know what's happening visually while she's talking. The auto refocus on the camera catches the back of the hoodie that just stood in front of it. At the center is a stained glass sun, around which the words, "Make our country shine," can be made out. Or consider the latest synthesis of our labor with nature, the biomechanical, or should I say, agromechanical mech. The southernmost region of what was once AO24, and shall never be again, is now filled with farms developing this new product. These farmlands are unique. For tens of thousands of years, they were swampland bordering the edge of a massive desert known as the Lowlands. Stories of the creatures there have been largely lost to time. But one such monster, and then there's a shout, the sound of a scuffle breaks out, and gunshots. There's a gasp and more gunshots, a beat. There's panic. People are running. In front of the camera, the yellow and white interior of the stained glass sun blooms red like a time-lapse rose. The hooded figure falls away, and the camera refocuses. Miss Bo is standing at the platform, gun smoking. The librarian that you met in the first mystery is at her feet, unmoving. It is time. We shall not falter. The recording cuts out.
Damn. That was real good.
Thank you. Cool. So that was a lot of things I just said and did. How's everyone feeling?
I had a Friday egg sandwich.
I have one more character to introduce, but that'll be during play. How was the fried egg sandwich, Ricky?
It was so fucking good. No mayo, just butter on the bread.
Okay. Do you toast the bread?
Yeah. Mm. Not just two pieces of soggy ass bread on it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh yeah, I didn't even address the text message I sent out. Did anyone think of, like, it sounded like there were no new lines or veils, but did anyone think of, like, a particular scene you wanted your character to have? Marvin or Roger, do you have any, like, ideas for... And when I say scene, I mean, like, literally, like, it could be anything from, like, Roger being like, oh, I would like to, or Ducky specifically being like, Roger should have a scene with Marvin, just one-on-one, where they talk about something, or whatever. Or it could be, like, you know, a big a bigger, you know, it could be anything from like very basic interpersonal shit to like larger scale stuff. Just anything that comes to mind is like not even necessarily something that's like, here's how I want the whole arc to end. Just like anything you've been missing.
Hmm.
Fucking.
You know what? I think, I don't think I have anything specifically that I would be interested in doing. I think the fact that Nancy Drew is still in our lives is kind of what Marvin at least is looking the most forward to. He's a little Twitter-pated.
Mm-hmm. So. A little love struck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I feel like I'm curious about connection with Marvin, like maybe like showcasing some sort of like brotherly moment where we connect in some way, and maybe it relates to like the Nancy session or something. Maybe I feel like, because we are twins, maybe I feel like, oh, they care about, you know, feeling a little mm-hmm. jealous.
Maybe that. I was also thinking maybe coming to some sort of conclusion about the influencer status of these two. We seem to be constantly trying to obtain something in our long career of 10 years from the age of 4 to 14. Maybe it's time to retire. Mm. Maybe this can be kind of like the defining like mystery that kind of makes us either decide to pivot or to do something different, or you know, if we can get that good footage, gets us some traction, maybe this is the inflection point for us.
We just want monetization.
Yeah. Is it too much and the, to ask yeah. paid?
Just give us a blue check mark or whatever.
Verify me, baby.
Just give you a dollar for each of your 10 views.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be able to help with that, but as you all approach the farm that you've been been directed to by Nancy, you do hear a familiar voice. It goes a little something like this. Can I pet that dog?
Oh my god.
Can I pet that dog? Phil, oh my god, is that you?
How did you, I'm a yes.
Oh, Finna stopped by and said you were coming. Oh my god, y'all. I haven't seen y'all in 10 years. You're the Cry twins, right? Y'all are, holy shit. Y'all are like adults.
As are
basically,
you.
Yeah.
You're like an adult.
Yeah, Berrigan is 19 years old at this point. Still sounds like wow. a complete child.
Wow. Wow.
Come in. It's, I'm here alone right now, but we've been having guests for a while, and we got a kind of a little safe house going out here in this farm. I will say, Pill, you worked this farm about 200 years ago. It's the same farm.
This is my farm? This yeah. is my old farm? Okay.
Yeah. It looks very different. It is no longer primarily a large grape farm. It has transitioned, but there is still a small grove of large grape trees, sort of just like, yes, that's right, I said trees, for anyone who hasn't listened to the the original Pill game. Pill was a...
It's this big.
Yep, roughly basketball-sized grapes, I believe, that grow on trees.
That ain't no grape.
Is that Marvin in character?
Yeah. One doesn't have to have a keen eye to see that it's not a grape.
It's like a grape. At least.
Oh, and you can ferment that shit as best box wine you ever had.
You just age the grape and then stick a straw into it.
From the foot of my mech to your mouth.
I forgot about that whole situation in the Pill game. Pill's mech was just a terror in that game. And just, danced, did, a river dance on some grapes, as I recall. Is that roughly correct?
Wait, what is this kid? Berrigan, that's right.
Yeah. Berriganomatose. Back for business. Yeah, and he leads you inside and, offers you... some wine coolers or some grape juice or anything you'd like to drink.
Do you only have wine coolers? No water?
No, there's water. There's definitely water.
Marvin asks for a white chocolate mocha.
Roger, wine cooler.
Yeah.
Shit.
How many people are here, Berrigan?
Right now it's just the four of y'all. Berrigan is we got people coming and going, but right now it's just us in the full house. I do want to say, I think Berrigan says that. He does not have any white chocolate mochas, but he does have some white chocolate and some tea. If you wanna...
Hell yeah.
I'm letting loose. Pill is pissed off that more of these teenagers are showing up in their life again.
Mm-hmm. So I couldn't hear. Did y'all accept the white chocolate tea? In place of mocha?
That's no for me, dog. I went for wine.
For some reason, I feel like Berrigan is definitely going to melt white chocolate in that wine cooler.
He offers. 100%.
Just a white chocolate float on the top.
Truly disgusting.
Yeah, the worst.
Yeah, so we should do mystery stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Y'all got any questions for Berrigan? I guess I should say this outright. I feel like as soon as you realize that you are on the Omatose Farms and Berrigan is there, it all clicks into place. Someone you know who would do anything to further their ambition. That's Berrigan. He's your third suspect.
Okay.
Can I ask Berrigan a question?
Yeah.
Berrigan, yes. Why are you here, of all places?
Oh, this is my family
farm. You know that this is my family farm.
This is.
You knew that.
You guys related?
I did not know this is your family farm.
I hope not.
Oh, dang, is Pilmac... What would it be? Would it be great, great, great grand?
Hey. I really don't think we're related, Berrigan.
I don't think we're related either. This family came into my this farm came into my family around maybe 100 years ago or so. I'm 19 years old. I don't really keep up with all that, but. Yeah, it was. So this was your farm then, Pill.
I worked it.
You worked it or you owned it?
We didn't really own much.
Good. I'm glad. I was hoping. I always looked up to you, Pill, and I was hoping you were never a landlord.
I had a different landlord. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my ma's pa, I think. Settled this land. I think it had run fallow for a couple generations, and he kind of just squatter's rights, you know.
Glad it's in your hands and not some the Lacrums or.
Well. Sounds like I might be able to pet that dog. That's the first thing that you ever said that was nice to me, Pill.
Please don't pet my dog or me. Rather, I am the dog.
All right.
I'm just kidding. You can have a just a little bit. Just a little pet.
I always respect bodily autonomy, but I do love to pet a metal dog. Varrican gives you like two quick pats. And it's like, real cold.
Just reflexively, because of how the robot's built, my leg does one of those little like, da-da-da-da, you know, like when you pet a dog. Mm-hmm. But Pill's very quick to mention that that wasn't Pill's doing. That was just the robot body.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got any questions for Varrican? Or
so we're in Berrigan's house on the farm, basically.
Yes, totally.
Okay. Marvin, kind of while enjoying his peach wine cooler, is asks, could we maybe have a tour of the family farm? What do you people grow here?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Okay, this is fine. I'm worried about this accent getting away from me, but also I've played Varrican now. This is my third time playing Varrican. I've never had a handle on his accent, so it's fine. His accent just kind of...
It drifts.
Yeah.
It does what it wants to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think he's basically just like, would you like a tour of the farm or the like the house? Or should we do both? Or that's kind of a lot of acres.
Well, just like to see what you people grow here and what you do with the land.
You people.
You people.
I always knew your classes.
The 14-year-old looking down on a full ass adult.
With a wine cooler.
I can't believe that it just over the course of like two recordings, Marvin has become the beverage king of Island Demeter.
Definitely. Definitely.
We always knew it would happen.
Yeah. I think Varrican just kind of shows you around as like, you know, like the house is like fairly small. It's got like a couple bedrooms. It's like actually mostly like common areas. Like it's like a wide open kitchen. The like living room is like attached to it. And it's like, you know, there's a bunch of like bedrolls around and like couch, like ratty ass couches and shit like that. It's like clear that people come through this space pretty often and he just like puts people up. Because Varrican runs an Airbnb. No. the opposite vibe.
Airbnb.
Yeah. Yeah. find your fanciest Renamex at the Mech B&B. I hate it. I hate it. I hate this world we're creating.
It's just too eerily close to our own.
Yeah.
I know.
No, it's much more punk house vibes than that. It's much more like, you know, it's like woofers come through and like they like put up friends and shit like that and people will like work on the farm.
Okay.
And, yeah, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
The farm itself is sort of it's like a mixed use kind of spot because it's like primarily Varrican and whoever the fuck is around. I think a lot of it is basically just like gardens.
Yeah.
There is the little grove of large grape trees, sort of, mm-hmm. A little like, a you know, maybe half a mile away from the house. When Varrican shows you them, he's kind of like, yeah, you know, they don't exactly yield a ton. They aren't exactly our cash crop or anything, but we like to be connected to the history of the space, you know, and well, I guess Pill would know more about that than me, but I heard that this used to be sort of the primary crop of this area.
Yes. I hate these grapes.
Well, I love their wine coolers.
Wait, are the wine coolers made from these giant grapes?
Absolutely.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Wait, can the wine coolers also just be like way too big? Just like real fucking big wine coolers, like 50 like ounce?
Wine thermos.
Exactly. Fucking 64 ounce wine coolers.
We mean business.
They're also like 2.5% probably. They're very diluted wine coolers.
We just have to pee a lot on our adventure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like they're only fermented because they don't like store the juice of these grapes very well.
Mm-hmm.
So they just like not like intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So what does most of the land end up being used for? Do you rent it out to other people, or do you have cattle, or
how
big is the farm?
Yeah, so it's like, so I think that's like, he's sort of like going from the house out. So like, you know, you see these like large garden areas where people will just kind of like plant stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think it'll be like, I read this book a while ago at this point, but I talked about it, I think, on the podcast a couple times. The One Straw Revolution, the Japanese farmer who like in the 60s, I believe, was like sort of pioneered a no plow technique for farming.
Okay.
He worked like a bunch of land by himself. He had like an orchard out in the back, and then like the thing he would do with the instead of plowing the land, he would basically like create seed bombs. So he would like rub the seeds in a little bit of like soil with some nutrients that the seeds would find useful, and then like clay on top of that. And he would just sort of sprinkle them all over the fields. That way, you know, slugs and birds and shit wouldn't eat the seeds because they would just look like clay pellets. And then he would cover everything in a layer of straw, so that it would when it decomposed, it would provide basically natural fertilizer for the seeds. And he managed to run a farm like this for like 50 years.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's like sort of like it looks like that in the garden area, where it's just like this like weird bunches of shit that you wouldn't really, it doesn't look aesthetically particularly pleasing, but it's like, you know, somebody come through and be like, I bet I could grow like enough potatoes here to feed like a family or two, and would just start planting potatoes in a certain area, and they're, you know, just random tubers over here and there, and they're just flowers places and like straw everywhere, and like it's like flourishing. It's not like, you know, huge, but there's stuff everywhere for the first like, I don't know, half a mile out in every direction from the farm. Past that, sort of the more commercial area, I think actually, I'm gonna have to pit, you kind of have narrative authorship over this part, Adam. I think he has some of the algae fields. How would you describe those?
Outside of like the orchards and the area that surrounds the, you know, directly surrounds the house, you see just these vast empty fields of like these, basically, I don't know if anybody has seen these on like agricultural areas, but like drainage ponds basically, and they have like a bright green color to them, and kind of like a strange, like almost swamp like smell to them. Looks very unappealing, but it's clearly set out for an intended purpose. But yeah, so what used to be like farmland has now been converted into what just looks like drainage ditches, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of begs the question of what are they growing in there, right? Mm-hmm. So
these are algae fields, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So they're basically, it seems like they're cultivating algae.
Okay.
Yeah, and just, since we kind of talked about this off mic, I think mostly, it is like one specific type of algae, right? That they would be cultivating for this purpose. Like it, so it would be like a really uniform sort of looking, I'm almost imagining it's like a moat around the garden in a weird way. This like weird swampy moat that like hits before the garden that's just covered in like, what do you think? Is it like a,
I was thinking more like if you've ever seen when people plant like strawberries or like berries that grow close to the ground, what they do is they run black tarps over dirt, and then like the strawberries and stuff will pop out of that. But basically what I'm thinking is just basically large black like troughs basically that are going out in rows like through fields. So instead of them growing like strawberries or melons or whatever, it's just these troughs or like little rows that are filled with water that have these green algae that are just like growing in the water basically.
Okay.
To maximize like contact with the sun basically, so shallow pools with like long, a lot of surface area basically.
Right. What color do you imagine these algae? Is it like a mossy green or like a bright green, or
like a bright green, like one of those like you see the algae that grows in like drainage pipes that like almost looking like streamy neon greenish. Let me see if I can't find drop a picture of something I'm thinking.
So like even brighter than emerald, almost like neon.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes. Yeah. Think of like an almost like it's a natural but almost unnatural color green.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, I think Berrigan like shows you this and he's like, you can kind of tell he's getting like less and less proud of it the further away he moves from the house. Like, he fucking loves these gardens. He tends to them every day. Like, he's, even when he shouldn't be, like, he's like putting too much attention on them given the way he's farming them. Like, he likes the large grape trees, but he doesn't really understand. Like, he's just like, this is a piece of history. I'm very proud to keep this here, but it's not, you know, it's not my baby. And then by the time you get to the algae fields, he's like, and this is sort of what we do to make money, basically.
Mm. Ooh. Who's buying algae from you?
Oh. Right, right, back in your... Oh. A secret stop. I think he says, like, oh, right. Oh, right, back at... Where the fuck did Berrigan go? That dog. I'm just gonna ground myself. It's my key phrase.
Take a moment.
Mindfulness.
That's what Berrigan's all about.
Definitely.
Mindfulness. Oh right, this is all new to you, huh, Phil? This algae wasn't really around when you were. This is the beginning of the agromech solution. This is what fuels your mechs. This algae, we've been cultivating it as a power source. So a lot of people buy from us. We try to keep our, let's say, political rivals away from it, but, you know, supply chains.
Power source.
How do algae power... Is it that you're creating biofuels from them, or do they literally grow in the mech?
I think you'd have to ask some sort of researcher about that. I'm a simple farmer. Berrigan says, like, mostly serious, but also, like, with a bit of a glint in his eye, like...
Totally. I know you're barking up the wrong tree, buddy. I just sell it.
Berrigan, do you know anything about a 10,000-year-old energy source underneath your farm?
Oh, I see you've been talking to Finna.
Just shoot straight for it. Why not? You're here.
You know, Finn is a lovely girl. You know, last time I talked to her, I asked her what it was about her hat. And she, you know what she told me? She really, really does want to blow up the sun. No, no metaphor there. No, no cryptic anti-fascist message. She just feeling to blow up the sun.
Oh my god.
She's great. She got some wild ideas, though. I don't know. I mean, she might be right, she might be wrong. I can't say either way, but...
Different end goals, but similar roads to get there, I guess.
Yeah. Feels a little heavy-handed, but I guess, you know.
Yeah, any other avenues of inquiry you'd like to come down, or... you know, you can always, since we're playing a game, you can always be like, I'm not sure what I want to ask, but I would like to roll to try to, like, provoke something out of
him. Yeah, I was gonna say, not like I want to provoke something out of him, but I think that Marvin particularly transfixed by the fields of algae, mm-hmm. and kind of wants to go closer to one of these, like, ditches almost, and go just take a closer look, just to see if there's something there, or like to see kind of like what it he can see based on. It's just so fascinating, and it's something that he's never seen before. So,
okay. I have a question. Was any of this interest inspired by the fact that it is partially used for mechs?
Yes. I'm glad that you asked.
Nice.
Because I wouldn't have done that otherwise.
Sounds like we're already at 2d6.
But I think that that's probably it. It was prepared kind of while he was talking about it, so in that way. I do feel like the keen eye comes into it, and the mech thing also comes into it. But prepared is maybe, it's pretty spontaneous, so it could go either way.
Yeah, I kind of feel like prepare is not really a prepared thing in my mind. Like,
right.
Yeah, I think if you had described it differently, where you kept plying Berrigan for information about it till you were sure he didn't know anything else, that might be a prepared role in this situation.
Sure.
But kind of just being like, I'm really curious about this, and kind of wander off, like, feels a little more,
right, on the spot.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is anyone helping?
What are you doing?
Just going up to the pools and, like, taking a look at them, basically a closer look.
A look to...
So I kind of like,
I don't know if that helps.
To Roger, and like, kind of grab him and be like, hey, come check this thing out with me.
I like that. I like that as a scene that, like, Roger and Marvin kind of going together to like Marvin, like, wandering, like, transfixed and being like, or Marvin wandering transfixed and like, just being like, hey, Roger, like, come here. that's a cute twin moment. So, Duck, then you, to roll help dice, you start with 1d6. It sounds like you are thoroughly unprepared for this.
Just grabbed by the hand, basically. Yeah.
And does handy come into place? Like, can you think of anything that you would, like, bring to bear here with your handy skill, or?
I think so, no.
Okay, so that's 1d6 to help. Is this a detective help or a rude help? That seems right to me also. So you want to roll 1d6 and get above a 4, I think. Is that right? Yes.
Yes, that's right. I got a 4.
Oh, fuck. First clue of the game on the first roll.
he thinks it's a clue.
I think, so in the past we have said that clues don't happen on help rolls, but that was because I didn't want to come up with that many clues, and so we've already done some prep on clues, so I think I'm okay with it for this time. And I guess we can count that as... will you re-roll, actually, Duck, just to see if you succeed or fail on a re-roll?
Yeah. 3.
Okay, so you fail the help, but find a clue is basically what's going to happen here. So Adam, that means you have 3 die.
3 die?
Okay. Yes. And are you doing, you're already doing detective here pretty obviously, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're trying to roll above a 3.
Seems highly likely that I'll be able to achieve that.
Well, 3 ones. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, it's each die.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I got a 2, a 5, and a 5.
2, a 5, and a 5. Okay, so that is a full success. I say this every single time we get one of these, but I like the writing in the book on this. If two dice succeed, you do it well. Good job. it's just nice. I like that. Okay. So I rolled 2 dice and I got a 7, which means that the clue. Huh. That's a fun one to have landed on first. The clue that Roger is going to find in this scene is going to be a broken piece of furniture. Adam, do you remember what you wrote down for that?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to...
set the scene?
Yeah, do you want to sort of describe what Marvin finds, and I will cut you off if there's anything that seems like encroaching on some other stuff, but a lot of this mystery is yours, so...
So as like both like Roger and Marvin are kind of like poking around, like taking sticks and kind of swirling it around, and Roger is doing it a little bit more aggressively. I mean, Roger is doing it more aggressively than Marvin. Marvin's kind of like picking up like spoonfuls of algae to like look closer at them, and whereas like Roger seems to be like poking and like throwing sticks into the pools, and one of his stick kind of bounces off something, like kind of in the like closer to the edge of the pool, but like still like submerged. And as he gets close, he sees it and kind of like is intrigued by it and goes a little bit closer. And what he can see kind of just below the surface, if he like kind of swooshes the algae around, is what looks like a chair, but like a captain's chair, like you would see in like a car. But this one seems to be bigger and more like a pilot's chair. And upon further investigation, he's like, hey, you know, Marvin, come help me with this. And they kind of like somehow get it a little bit further out of the pool. And it does look like an old mech chair, like not one of like the new mechs, but like something that seems to be a little bit, you know, outdated.
Would you say this is like from Pill's time period or like after Pill's time period?
After Pill's time period.
Yeah. So this is like 150-year-old chair, maybe.
Right. Yeah, it's not like the most recent models, but it does still have like all of the characteristic features that you would expect in like a pilot's chair, basically.
Yeah, and does Marvin come to any conclusions about this, or does Roger, or are there any like...
We just kind of think that it's odd to have a mech, like pieces of a mech on a farm. It just doesn't seem like... It seems somewhat like out of place. It's hard to make any conclusions. Like farms do kind of have old equipment like lying around oftentimes, but this isn't the type of thing that you would expect, I guess, to be as like something that's lying around in a farm.
So this is something that's old, like pretty old by present day standards, but isn't like as old as like when I was on the farm.
It's like a few like mechs are like durable goods, right? So they stick around for a while. They are used in the army, like old army tech is typically used for like a while, you know, like, so it's probably a few generations removed than like the most recent batch of mechs. And it's, since we're so young, us seems old. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's objectively very old.
Right. Can we ask Barrington what it is? What it means?
Totally, mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I think the thing would be, like, Pill, you could probably look at this and be like, this is definitely not Harvester tech, right? This is not, and it's not First Act tech, like, but... before we get to that, does Marvin find anything out about the algae from poking at it, or is it more just a, like... Or maybe...
I mean, it looks like, you know, I don't think that there's anything really to learn about it, per se.
Yeah.
As much as it's just, if you've ever been in, like, a rural area, kind of, when you see these types of things, you're kind of, I don't know, sometimes entranced by it and just want to like go take a look at something. And
totally.
The finding the chair just seems to be kind of a happy outcome of wanting to go take a closer look at something.
Yeah. I'm going to be deadass real quick. I know me and Adam, we talked about this mech chair and I don't remember why we included it in the clues. So I don't know what Barrigan knows about it. do you want to like shoot me a quick message on Discord or say it out loud or anything? Or?
I think Barrigan is just like looks at them as like, right. Huh, that's odd, but he doesn't actually say anything profound about it. I mean, again, if he wanted to, he's probably just like, I don't know, there's a lot of old stuff on this farm, like,
right? And he's already been like, this is clearly his least favorite part of the farm. He probably doesn't clean it up as much as the rest. Like, he's probably just like, oh, that's a weird one. Yeah, nothing I can sort of say off the top of my head. Do you want to keep it?
We'll just take a picture. How about that? You can keep your old shitty captain's chair.
That does seem like a much better way of what's the old saying of keeping the clue in your pocket.
That old saying. Everyone says it.
It was old this time.
You really kept the clue in your pocket this time.
I feel like this is a question we have answered, but I don't remember the answer to. Do we have cars in this universe? I can't remember if we have cars in this universe.
I don't know that we've ever talked about that.
I feel like we've mostly just gotten around on mechs.
Yeah.
Like we literally had a zip car mech. Yeah. I want to say that mechs were like the primary mode of transport in this universe.
So with that in mind, you would know the difference, even if you didn't know like what model or whatever things would go to. This mech chair, if that's the primary form of transportation, this is clearly like a military mech chair. Like, it's not like for just regular commuting and getting from point A to point B. It's very clearly like a military style pilot's right. chair. And it's that makes it even more stranger to be in this location, right?
it's got like the like foamy headrest and the armrest, and it's got like, you know, Mountain Dew logo in the back. Exactly. In the middle back.
Code red, baby. Code red.
Then I have another question for Barry. A lot of air traffic, like a lot of plane, like mechs, flying mechs coming over.
I think that's a perfect transition into exactly to what I wanted to do. So I think as Berrigan starts to answer and is like, basically starts saying something along the lines of like, a lot more recently than there used to be, but still not a ton. And right as that happens, a car drives up. And that's like, I feel like that in this universe would be weirder than like,
a mech showing up,
right? Or like a plane flying low over you if you live near an airport in our world, right? Or like, or even a plane flying low over you if you live on a farm in our world, like a car. Well,
just like, what's this legless mech?
Oh no! See, that leads to another question, which means I maybe can't do this. Do we have wheels? Did we ever invent the wheel in this culture?
I'm sure they got wheels of some. Yeah.
They gotta. Yeah.
Well, remember we rode the mine cart.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Ducky. Thank mm-hmm. you. Those were actually treads. It was a tank.
if I had been on my game, that would have been a tiny mine mech that walked on all fours.
The mine cart is actually just a sleigh.
Just we all travel downhill in this universe all the time.
Exactly.
So yeah, a weird car drives up, and it's like, what would a car look like in this universe? Like, I want it to be like, what if, like, you know how you could like theoretically see like somebody putting like a Honda Fit on top of a mech body and it being the head of the mech?
You mean like a transformer, literally?
Yeah. But I'm just I'm imagining like a
like
box.
A beetle headed,
but like headed. A head. Like
yes.
A
yeah. I think that's kind of what it looks like, which is to say like a Volkswagen Beetle or a Honda Fit ish sort of profile. I don't know which one. Which do you use your imagination, listeners. This is a theater of the mind.
Choose between two cars.
Yeah. It's an Aibo or a Pucci, and it's a Beetle or a Fit.
It's imaginative tapestry.
It looks like that if that was like a little more shaped like a mech head. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah. But it's got wheels on it. And it drives in, and it's probably like a I feel like it's like a really, really like well, you know, waxed silver kind of color. So yes, there's a silver car that drives up to the front of the house, and Barrigan goes, "Oh shit. I gotta go. Is my ma's pa's brother's kid, is Damien. I gotta go talk to him. Y'all don't have to come. He's kind of annoying as shit. But I've gotta go see what he needs." And Barrigan starts heading out to meet this car.
I think Pill's gonna trot behind.
Okay.
Because our characters are aware of Damien and Claudia, yes. Right?
Yes.
Or yeah, Claudia.
We were told about them.
Yeah.
Claudia. Okay, cool. Claudia.
Okay. I was just inspired by the Sicilian vibe of our last mission. So.
I love it. I love it. Mostly, especially if it's spelled C-L-O-U-D. Claudia.
No, but that's an interesting spelling.
Also good. It sort of was your audio was kind of breaking up for me right when it got so tense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't want to interrupt you because I figured it was like recording on your end.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Thank you.
From the point where full start, it's.
Oh. Did I fucking freeze?
Is there a way or something?
Sorry, I missed your question because my internet was being bad. What would you say?
I was just wondering if you could repeat from where the scuffle broke out or just post it in the chat real quick so I can pick it up.
Yes.
The
long and short of it is somebody tries to kill Miss Bo. They shoot the librarian that you met in the first mystery. Miss Bo returns fire and murders the fascist blocking the camera. And says, "It is time, we will not falter, because this is the revolution." here is my...
Because the fascists who are dedicated to Deus tried to kill the people at this meeting or lecture, and they didn't succeed.
They...
Necessarily.
Yeah, they did not get Miss Bo. They got the librarian who was working clandestinely with the resistance. I dropped the sort of stage directions that I had written in the Root Detectives channel. Yeah, they tried to do a little Nation of Islam Malcolm X action on her, and she said, "Fuck that."
Okay. The librarian got the fact.
The librarian got shot. Okay.
Okay.
Fuck.
You're doing great, Beeb. I can see why this is exhausting.
Very effective, annoying YouTuber, I gotta say.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The poorly timed breaths are my favorite.
What is it? Okay, shit. My brain went entirely blank there. What did I say?
The Lackham twins have the debt.
Nice.
The money and rent.
Okay. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Okay. So